Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Mary had a little man,
the fault. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
Even the president of Mexico called me. They said their southern border, very few people are coming because they know they're not going to get through our border, which is the ultimate compliment.
The Mexican foreign ministry denies this, saying, and I'm quoting now, President Enrique Peña Nieto has not been in recent communication via telephone with President Donald Trump. Let's
You're
bring in our
idiot.
Panel.
You know, we can't believe anything this man says. I mean, like nothing. Absolutely zero of what he says turns out to be true. Is my TV on? My TV's on? Oh, hang on. Okay, thank you. This president, I mean, it's liarama. I cannot keep up with him. I can't. It's like the most amazing. It's almost as if he says something, then it's exactly the opposite of what he said. Because, I mean, the Wall Street Journal did an interview with the president. And the Wall Street Journal didn't release the full transcript of the interview that they did with the president. It's almost as if they thought maybe they could edit him to make him sound normal, but the damn thing leaked. Because everything this man does leaks. I'm glad I'm not a maid at Trump Tower and have to change the bed sheets. That's all I'm saying over here. I mean, everything about Trump leaks. It's just vile. Okay, I'm sorry. But, you know, he said, I got a call from the from the president of Mexico to compliment me, to thank me for the slowdown of immigration. And Peña Nieto released a statement today saying, I didn't call him. I haven't talked to him in a really stinking long time. Do you know, and then, you know, remember he said the thing with the Boy Scouts. That he had got, okay, this is in the, all right. So the Wall Street Journal does this interview with the president and they only put in what they thought made him sound semi-normal. And in reading that in the Wall Street Journal, trust me, he didn't sound semi-normal. And for anybody that read it, you know, he didn't sound semi-normal. But this was the part that they actually published. What they didn't publish was the rest of the rambling and the crazy, unfocused, disjointed conversation that he had with the reporter from the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Baker. Well, the thing leaks. Politico got the entire transcript. And then everybody and their mother, including me, went through it with a highlighter and decided to look at it for themselves to see what it was that the Wall Street Journal felt the need. It was an editorial decision, they said, to not publish the whole thing. So you want to know why not? So now everybody has gone through this Wall Street Journal interview and, the most amazing lies are in this. I mean, the transcripts, when you read them, it sounds like a guy, did you ever have I don't know, I'll stick to dental work, also colonoscopies. Did you ever have a procedure that required you to be in twilight sleep? Did you ever have a dental procedure like that where, you know, they gave you an Ativan or something of this nature? And then, you know, you sort of can count back from 100 and you might get to 98 before you're semi-unconscious. The whole interview in the Wall Street Journal sounds this way. The whole interview, the entire interview, sounds like he was given medication right before dental surgery and or a colonoscopy. And I hate to bring that subject up after I just said everything about him leaks, because that's just gross. But let's just look at some of the statements he made. BuzzFeed did an excellent job of pulling out like the 11 most outrageous things that the Wall Street Journal decided not to publish. Okay. This, of course, we have to credit Politico for getting the transcript. The entire 45-minute conversation, so it's like 40 pages. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. But if you wanted to, you know, take a little look at that right now while we're talking, you will see these things. Control F would be your best friend on the keyboard, because I don't know how many of you realize this, but you can search documents with the Control F command. Now, I can only speak for a PC. Mac users, you're insane. Of course, we do have a giant Mac here, thanks to you, to Command F. Oh, Command. It's just so Nazi, the whole Mac experience. It's very forceful, and I resent it every minute of it. At least my PC, I feel like I'm in control. Of course, it will crash and get viruses, but you know what? It's a small price to pay to feel like you're in control. Thank you, Brett. Brett is a PC maven. Of course, Scotty would like everybody to use a Mac. Ain't happening. All right, so Command F, Control F will let you search the document. All right. So the BuzzFeed took the Politico transcript that, you know, they got, and they looked at the conversation as a whole. And first of all, let's just start with, he calls Jared Kushner, who is like in his 30s. He calls him a good boy. Good boy, like a dog, okay? But here's some of the topics they discussed that they left out. Wall Street Journal. I thought it was an interesting speech in the context of the Boy Scouts. That was the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Baker, okay? President Trump says, right. He said, the Wall Street Journal said, they seem to get a lot of feedback from former scouts. He said, oh, did they like it? The Wall Street Journal, being the Wall Street Journal, said, you know, it seemed mixed. And Trump said, they loved it. It was no mix. There was a standing, I mean, you know, they write mostly negative stuff, but it was a standing ovation. From the time I walked out on the stage, because I know, and by the way, I'd be the first to admit mixed. I'm a guy who'll tell you mixed. There was no mix there. That was a standing ovation from the time I walked out to the time I left. And for 5 minutes after I already gone, there was no mix. And I got a call from the head of the Boy Scouts saying it was the greatest speech that was ever made. And they were very thankful. So there was no mix. In fact, an official with the organization called me. No mix. All right. Here's the truth, of course. The Boy Scout organization was unaware of any phone call to Trump, And of course, the chief of the Boy Scouts of America apologized to the scouts for the president's political rhetoric that spurred backlash from the entire scouting community. How is that no mix? How, I mean, and they tried to be nice to him. They tried, well, there were mixed reviews, Mr. Perry. There were mixed reviews. No mix. No mix. I know mix. There's no mix. I'd be the first to admit if it were a mix, there was no mix. There was no. It was the greatest speech ever given. You know, this is a very insane reply, I have to say. And BuzzFeed, who did take out these excerpts from the Politico's acquisition of the entire transcript, they actually called also the Boy Scouts of America, BuzzFeed did, and the statement that they got was, quote, the chief scout executive's message to the scouting community speaks for itself. And the chief scout executive's message was, we're very sorry to the scouting community for the president's political rhetoric. It was inappropriate. All right. Then they talked to him about taxes. Now, you would think that that would be included in the Wall Street Journal, which, you know, a lot of business people are interested in the tax issue, right? So Mr. Baker of the Wall Street Journal brought up taxes. And he said, what have you been doing, Mr. President, sort of behind the scenes? Oh, I'm sorry. This is healthcare. So he says, what have you been doing, Mr. President, sort of behind the scenes? Trump, a lot. He says, I mean, what do you think of the crucial conversations that you've had? What have they been? And Trump says, many conversations, many. I just had a certain senator that was very convinced, and I was very convincing to that senator. So I've done a lot. I've done a lot. I mean, last night, it was amazing. I was in West Virginia doing certain things and making a speech to the Boy Scouts. And that was some crowd. That was an incredible crowd. But I've been working hard trying to get the senators to go along with it. And, you know, I think, you know, look, just don't quote me on this unless it happens. But I think we have a pretty good shot. And that vote's taking place around 2 o'clock today. Right, 2 o'clock. Definitely 2 o'clock. Wapner! Freaking Rain Man. And of course, you know, the GOP has complained and continues to complain that Trump was not engaged enough getting the repeal and replace bill, you know, to the American public. He didn't sell it. He didn't work Congress, that he sent mixed messages saying that the House bill was mean, had no idea what was in the Senate bill. Right. And so the GOP has complained and the Senate has told him they're not going to revisit it. They're not going to go back to it, that he should have, you know, used his bully pulpit to sell the repeal and replace of Obamacare, blah, blah, blah. But I've done a lot. In fact, I went to West Virginia. I gave the most amazing back to the Boy Scout. Okay, on taxes. They asked him about taxes, and they asked him if he was going to lower taxes and what his tax plan was. His answer was, I swear to God, this is on taxes. So I deal with foreign countries. And despite what you may read, I have unbelievable relationships with all the foreign leaders. They like me. They like me. I like them. You know, it's amazing. So like I'll call like major countries and I'll be dealing with the prime minister or the president and I'll say, how are you doing? And he says, and this is right from the Boy Scout speech. He says, oh, don't know. Not well, Mr. President, not well. And I say, well, what's the problem? Oh, GDP is only at 9%. Not well. And I'm saying to myself, here we are at like 1% dying over here, and they're at 9% and they're unhappy. So, you know, a lot of like countries, you know, like fairly large, like 300 million people, you know, a lot of people say, they say, well, but the United States is large. And then you call places like Malaysia, Indonesia, and you say, you know, how many people do you have? And it's pretty amazing how many people they have. So China is going to be at 7 or 8%, and they have $1.5 billion, right? So we should do really well. That's his tax plan. And he's shocked at how many people there are in Indonesia. He's shocked. He should know because he's got Trump Tower, Manila, Philippines. He should know. Okay, on job creation. They ask him, you know, what's your plan on job creation? He says, but one of the things we're doing, so Gary and I are working because I said, you know, Gary, we're going to have Foxconn come in. We're going to have a lot of companies that are coming in. Foxconn is coming in with a big plan. We got Tim Cook I spoke to, and he's promised three big plants. Big, big, big. I said, you know, Tim, unless, and the Wall Street Journal goes, really? Where? And he says, well, we'll have to see. You could call him. But I said, Tim, unless you start building your plants in this country, I won't consider my administration an economic success, okay? And he's called me and he says, you know, they're going forward. Three big, big, beautiful plants. You'll have to call him. I mean, maybe he won't tell you what he tells me, but I believe he will do that. I really believe it. So they called Tim Cook and they asked him about Trump's claim, and Tim Cook managed to completely avoid the answer. Wouldn't give an answer. I don't know what he's talking about. Could be not. I don't know. All right. So that's that. Then they asked him about, you know, they doubled down. They said, well, what about places where their jobs are scarce? What's your plan for that place, you know, where jobs are scarce? Oh, my God. He actually said, we have created 2 million jobs in the U.S. and we're incredibly proud. Oh, no, this is Tim Cook. I'm sorry. This is the quote from Tim Cook. Tim Cook said, we've created 2 million jobs in the U.S. We're incredibly proud of that. This is during an earnings call. Okay, so this was an analyst that was on the earnings call, and this is what Tim Cook said. But when they called him to get a direct quote about what the president claimed, Tim Cook said that he was going to build all these plants in the United States. Tim Cook would not confirm. He would not give an answer. But on an earnings call, an analyst said that Tim Cook was incredibly proud. He said he was incredibly proud that they have created 2 million jobs in the U.S. We do view that we have a responsibility in the U.S. to increase economic activity, including increasing jobs. And somebody on the call asked, what about manufacturing plants? And Cook neither addressed that and wouldn't address Trump's claim that he promised him 3 plants, wouldn't refute it. And that was BuzzFeed that called him up to get a response. So he wouldn't answer. Okay. And so then during the conversation that he had with the Wall Street Journal about job creation, the president offered this little gem. He said, this is President Trump, where do we have the people? You know, where do we have the people? This makes no sense. Okay, I feel like I'm on drugs reading it, but this is exactly word for word what he said. Okay, he says, where do we have the people? You know, where do we have the people in New York State that can't get jobs, in many other places that you can't get jobs, and people are going to have to start moving. They're going to have to move to Colorado. They're going to have to move to Iowa and Wisconsin and places where, like, if Foxconn goes to Wisconsin, which is one of the places they very strongly are considering, but if Foxconn goes to Wisconsin and they have a very low rate because the governor there has done an excellent job, you're going to have a situation where you got to get the people, but they're just going to have to start moving. And I'm going to have to start explaining to people, when you have an area that just isn't working, like upper New York State, where people aren't getting very bad, where people are getting very badly hurt. And then you have another area 500 miles away where you can't get people. I'm going to explain, you can leave. It's okay. Don't worry about your house. You know, a lot of them don't leave because of their house. Because they say, gee, my house, I thought it was worth $70,000 and now it's worth nothing. It's okay. Cut your losses. Go. Right? His advice to people out of work is to move to Iowa. Hey, New Yorkers. There's the advice you've been dying to hear from the president on job creation. You have to move. You're going to have to go to move to Colorado, Wisconsin, Iowa. I don't know. Practice making sausage because Hormel is apparently hiring. I don't know what he's talking about. And then on the China deal, they asked him about China and he said, well, I'll tell you, you know, I did a thing that nobody even wrote about, although you did, haha. But when I was with President Xi, we have a very good relationship. Do me a favor. Will you allow cattle, please, to come in? And last night I was in West Virginia and I had farmers coming up to me and hugging me and kissing me because of the cattle stuff. They actually weren't from West Virginia. They were from other places. But, you know, it was the Boy Scouts. So they came from all over the country. Oh, my God. Go to randyrhoads.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.